This is Mark Schneidman. At the tone, leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
Hi, Mark. I was recalculating the expansion of the universe the other day, and was wondering if we could use that to justify a lot split on the property you just helped me buy.
That's very clever. That was very clever. That was another Brent Glogie. He lives on through his little Rockford bits. It's just wonderful. Stephen Hawking, is that who he's mimicking there? Welcome. Thank you for tuning in to your local realtor. I'm here with Talon on Loan from the California Department of Real Estate. Joining me in the second segment, today's guest, Dr. Peter Rupert, UCSB Economic Forecast Director. He will forecast your future in about 15 minutes. I would like to dedicate today's program to the memory of Alex Moore. He's had his picture in the paper Friday, May 11th, and also May 14th, I think. He was my neighbor, and I got a knock on my door and found out that he died. And 31 years old, just a great guy, starting his life, his wife, 7 months pregnant. He had something called Crohn's disease? And Crohn, with an N, and he went in for surgery, and there was, you know, it wasn't a big deal, but surgery, a blood clot, fluke thing, he died. It is the saddest thing you can imagine. I was talking on Mother's Day to my West Coast mother, second mother, and she lost her husband after 50 years, 5 years ago. He was 80, she was 75. Five kids, 50 years. And it took her 5 years to pretty much realize he's not coming back. She got over it this year, just starting to live a little normally. And I said to her, can you imagine pregnant with your first child 7 months and Dale would have died? You wouldn't have had the 50 years. You wouldn't have had the other four kids. You know, she goes, Mark, I know. I appreciate it. It's almost like a reverse. It's a Wonderful Life, you know, where he was wondering what his life would have been like if he wasn't around. And now I'd like to know how Dr. Alex Moore's life would have been had he been around to continue. It just makes you want to shake a friend's hand and kiss a loved one to be grateful that we're all here. So dedicating today's program to the memory of Dr. Alex Moore and his wife, Kirsten, wishing her luck. So, okay, so the second segment, Dr. Peter Rupert, UCSB. I'd like to talk a little bit about year-to-date statistics for short sales and bank-owned property. If you ever see the initials REO, that means it's a bank-owned property. It's been foreclosed upon. The bank's taken it back. Last week, through May 4th, for the 18 weeks of the year, I did all the year-to-date, and I talked about how the number of sales is just up 30% on single-family homes only, not even looking at condos. And we're averaging, you know, and now, of course, the median price is down a little. But so it got me thinking, what's happening with the short sales and REOs? I remember on year over year, I looked at 2010, and it was about 1 in 5 single-family homes were selling that were short sales or bank-owned properties. And that was up, you know, from 2009. I don't have that. Let's see. 2009... Well, let me check that. Actually, that might not be true. 2009 might have been around the same. But whatever it was, it went from 2010, in the year 2010, it went from 1 in 5 single-family sales that were either short sales or REOs to 1 in 4 in 2011, which is a 23.5%. The fact is, in looking down at it, in 2010 it was 21%, and in 2009 it was 24.7%. So that was kind of an oddity. 2009 really had the highest percentage, or higher than 2011. Go down to 28 for the first 18 weeks of the year, 5% were either short sales or REOs, and that was probably because there were very few, and also maybe people weren't also denoting the proper checklist. But still, you know, short sales and REOs were not as common back then. So you have the number in your head. 2011, for the first 18 weeks of the year, is 23.5%. 2010, 21%. 2009, 24.7%. What is it year to date for the first 18 weeks of the year? 31.3% of the single family homes sold from CARP to Goleta through MLS were either short sales or REOs. Now you got to remember though, we went up from the number of sales. We had 255 sales in 2011. We went up to 342 sales. I mean, it's a huge increase, 31% increase in the number of sales. So the fact is, higher percentage are short sales and bank-owned properties. The median price for those short sales, those 107 short sales and bank-owned properties for the first 18 weeks of 2012, $585,000. So half of 107 were below $585,000. Half were above. The median price in 2011 for those first 18 weeks, $593,000. In 2010, it was $606,000. So all hovering around the $600,000 mark for since 2008. Okay, so that gives you an idea of the impact. I think one time, I didn't bother this time, I think one time I actually took out the 107 sales of the first 342 sales. And you could say, well, without them, here's what the median price would be. But how much do you want to play around with it, you know? I think there was an expression, something about the king would the queen would be king if something occurred. So how far do you go? They are, you know, part of the reality. Interestingly enough, in talking to some appraisers, they do take that into account. And if I had a sale last week in an area where really most of the homes were all selling in the fives, and then there was a recent home that sold for 610. And mine sold for $610,000 too, my listing. And yet, a lot of the comps were in the fives. So that they take that into account where they can. I mean, to a certain degree, not, you know, you can't stretch it. Okay. We'll also like to take a quick look at what's in escrow over $1 million. But you know what? I'm going to save that for the third segment, if I remember. Let's just, before we take a break, and we'll come back with this second segment, we'll come back with UCSB Peter Rupert, Economic Forecast Director. Just a quick motoring with Mark. I was out in Hope Ranch, saw a house. It was a bank-owned property in Hope Ranch, and not too many of those. $1.6 million. And one of the bedrooms, the closet door was 1 foot off the ground. Can you picture that? It would almost be like if you were in an attic room and, you know, the flooring was really odd and there you might have a door, and instead of being on the floor, it was actually 1 foot off the ground. It was a little atypical. And then something that you're seeing a lot more of, and I just throw that out there if you're doing some remodeling, the bathroom sink vanity was, it came up to my belt. And this morning before I left my house, I measured that, and it was 40 inches. And my old style vanity, built in the 1960s, 33 inches. So a 7-inch height differential between these new ones. I'm not, you know, tall, I'm not short, just under 5'10". It seemed to be, you know, good to me, you know, bend over and all that. But people are making those decisions. I don't know. I guess if you're 5 feet tall, maybe it's not that great, but maybe it still works. But, you know, something to think about if you're doing some remodeling in your house. Okay. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com, to search MLS listings throughout California and also to listen to past broadcasts. We're going to take a quick break, come back with Peter Rupert, UCSB Economic Forecast. Stay tuned.